Well, tonight we're going to be talking with Oleg Agbashian. He is, of course, the one of the founders of People's Cube. Yes, the People's Cube. It's a very, very popular website. It is kind of a, one of those websites that it's a real satire, conservative satire, that plays against the communist perspective, let's just say, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about Oleg. Before moving to the United States in 1994, he lived in the Ukraine. And while he was there, he sometimes worked as a propaganda artist for the old Soviet Union. How interesting, huh? Creating agitprop posters for the local party committee in a small town in the Ukraine. Now, during that time, Oleg said that he witnessed the transition of the republics of the Soviet Union from corrupt socialism to corrupt kleptocracy. And when he arrived in the United States in 1994, Oleg was kind of puzzled by what he calls the level of delusional affection for all things left among the liberal intellectual elites who take America's exclusive well-being for granted. And at the time, Oleg dismissed this delusional affection as silly and of little consequence. But then we were attacked on 9/11. You know, it's amazing to think that that's like 11 years ago now. In 2001, this is two. This year we'll make it 12 years. Whew, wow. Anyway, Oleg witnessed that day from the base of the Twin Towers. And I remember when he was on the program before, he talked about how that the memory of that horror that he witnessed. And then he said the subsequent blame America attitude among the intellectual trendsetters just pissed him off. He said, well, at that point, liberalism was no longer comical. It was no longer laughable. In fact, what it was it was dangerous, suicidal madness that he felt had to be confronted. So he took up political activism at that point. And his activism blossomed into a satirical street theater group. They called themselves Communists for Kerry, as in John Kerry. We'll have to get his take on what he thinks of John Kerry being nominated and approved by our Senate as Secretary of State. Agbashian said that Communists for Kerry was started in July of 2004 as a six-member satire group with the stated goals of helping George W. Bush, get reelected and having a lot of fun in the process. Oleg was the group's writer. He was their graphic artist, and he was their webmaster. And he said the project really exceeded their expectations. Their last street theater event was held on Union Square in New York, and it featured over 30 volunteers in communist costumes. Can't you picture it? Many more people joined them online from all over the United States. And he said they even had a sister group in Australia. And people who were wearing Communists for Kerry shirts at a rally in Paris. Well, with the People's Cube, Oleg has turned it into a nationwide community web portal of spontaneous political humor and parody for conservatives and libertarians and objectivists and really just about anyone who supports and celebrates America's freedoms and individual rights and, of course, capitalism. And he writes for the People's Cube under the pseudonym Red Square. How appropriate, huh? Yeah. So and we're going to be talking with him in just a little bit about something great that's happened for them over there at the People's Cube. Among the many parodies of Obama's Hope poster, you remember the Hope poster, well, they made several parodies of that during the 2008 elections, and one of them was of Margaret Thatcher. And her image was captioned as iron. And last month, they were contacted by the treasurer at the Grantham Museum in England, who asked for their permission to use this image in a campaign that they're doing for a Margaret Thatcher statue. That's where, of course, Margaret Thatcher was born and raised. And so they're trying to raise money for it, and they're going to be using this. So we'll get his take on that. We'll talk. So anyway, let me get back to our guest, our very special guest tonight. One of my favorites. I love going to his website, The People's Cube. He always has such funny and incisive commentary on what is happening in the world. And, of course, he comes at it from a very different perspective, coming from the Ukraine and living in a communist controlled country and having to design graphics and agitprop for the Communist Party. He's a real treasure, and we're so glad he's with us here tonight. Oleg Atbashian, welcome.
Yes, hi, Andrea. Hi,
how
everybody.
You doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Well, I have a little bit of a CPAC flu, I call it.
Oh,
I turned from
no.
CPAC, went down with the flu. But I hope we can have a productive conversation anyway.
Oh, you're a trooper for being with us, and we won't keep you for a whole lot of time because I know how miserable it can be. We are very excited. Congratulations that your graphic art of Maggie Thatcher is being used. I mean, it's gone beyond just being a cultural icon and is now being used for something even bigger. Tell our listeners about that, Oleg.
Well, in 2008, during the elections, when everybody was talking about that Obama Hope poster, you know, the four color with the blue, red, yellow, and dark blue colors, we started creating the People's Cube contributors, and I probably made more than others parodies of that poster with, for instance, where Obama says hope, there is a picture of Ben Clinton that says grope, and
yep.
a picture of Carter that says dope, and a picture of John McCain that says not Obama, and a lot of others. It's all on the People's Cube, you can see it. And actually that became very popular and picked up, and international sites were linking to it. I eventually decided to make a deck of playing cards with those images. So I have it on the People's Cube if someone is interested. And among them was the picture of Margaret Thatcher with the caption Iron, as an Iron Lady.
How appropriate.
Not as an Iron My Shirt. As an Iron
All right.
So I uploaded those images on Zazzle in our online store, and so Margaret Thatcher image became one of the better selling items: posters, mugs, T-shirts, and half of those were going to Britain.
That's kind of interesting. And I guess it would make sense that they would be going to Britain because of her popularity there. Did that take you by surprise to see how popular this graphic design was?
Yes. I usually, my graphic designs were popular for their humor, usually parodies, but this one was obviously taken seriously. So
yeah.
That was good. That was really... heartwarming,
mm-hmm.
especially that I have some kind of relationship with Margaret Thatcher, although she doesn't realize it.
Really?
You see, when I was, I think she was one of the first guideposts in my life and my understanding what was really going on with capitalism and socialism, with all these, with all the political debates and what the media was saying about her when I lived in the Soviet Union. See,
mm-hmm.
As I was growing up, I occasionally listened to foreign radio stations on my shortwave radio, like Voice of America, BBC. They had pretty good Russian service programs, and where they would tell us what was really going on in the world and inside the country. And we could compare and see what our Soviet media was saying and find out what was really going on. So sometimes I was also studying English, and sometimes I would listen to English programming. And, well, of course I was interested in rock music, as everybody, and buying tapes and vinyls on the black market of my favorite bands, like, I don't know, Genesis, Deep Purple, Pink Floyd. So I would tune into those foreign stations to get latest updates on what's going on in rock music world. And then during the elections in Britain, just by accident tuned in, and I heard a campaign speech by Margaret Thatcher. And in our media, in the Soviet media, she was always portrayed as a cold, heartless woman, a troublemaker of sorts. She busted the unions and privatized the economy and wouldn't hear of a compromise in the Cold War, didn't care about the poor, the widening gap between the rich and the poor, and so forth. So, the speech that I heard impressed me so much. On the one hand, it confirmed the facts that the Soviet media were saying, not that she didn't care about the poor, but that she was an uncompromising and privatizing the economy and believing that socialism is an abomination. Mm-hmm. And I heard this deep, powerful voice that accused the socialists of destroying the British economy through nationalization. And she also demonstrated how the free markets were bringing the economy back to life, making Britain strong again. And then as I listened, I suddenly realized that she was absolutely right. And that's when I became Thatcher's fan.
How old were you, Oleg, at the time?
I don't remember. I think she was prime minister for 3 terms. So that had to be in her second or third election.
Right,
I don't know, something about, between 18 and 20, maybe.
Okay, so you weren't very, very young, but you were still a young man and coming of age, essentially, and also coming of age in terms of what the rest of the world held, what the rest of the world had to offer. That's amazing that you were that connected with what was going on. So you were impressed with her at that point. So so then you started paying more attention to her after that.
Yeah, and I remember later telling my friends about that speech and how impressed I was. And she may have been one of the earliest guideposts in my own intellectual journey. And then next thing, I began to suspect that all the things that the Soviet media was saying about Ronald Reagan might also be true, and that actually made him right. And so it's like my eyes opened. And conversely, those whom the Soviet media praised were the real bad news.
So you figured it out.
See, I grew up believing in communism like all the other Soviet kids, because that's what the teachers told us, and the media, all the official organs. That was the only game in town. And whether your parents believed in that or not was irrelevant, because most parents didn't talk to their children about that, because my parents didn't want me to get in trouble. So they didn't even discuss this.
Wow. Boy, you are really seeing the same thing happening here too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What do you think? I mean, your kids are being indoctrinated. I mean, we're hearing so many things. Every day, it's something new. All you have to do is listen to Rush Limbaugh.
My kids went to school here, and, I was very disappointed with the quality of public schools.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I didn't make enough money to send them to private schools.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, my kid was always getting in trouble, and with a teacher, so I went to school once and was waiting for the principal to come out, waited in the lobby, and I saw a bulletin board with children's compositions pinned to it. And I started reading as I had time, and those were compositions titled How I Would Change the American Constitution, What I Would Add to It. And all the all those kids' compositions were about adding the right to work, the right to free medical care, the right to free education, the right to housing, medical care, all those things. And then the principal came out, and she saw that I was reading. She was happy, said, and she said, "Aren't our kids great? How smart they are!" And I said, "I don't know. You know, all those rights were written into the Soviet Constitution, and that didn't do anybody any good. Why do you want to turn American Constitution into the Soviet Constitution?" And she said, "And what's wrong with the right to free medical care or something like that?" I said, "Well, it's and I wasn't political then. I was just, you know, speaking my mind as I understood what was going on from my life experience." I said, free medical care would mean that the government then would have to keep track of all the citizens in order to provide the care for them. That's one thing. Then they would have to tax everybody to give that medical care, and they would have to, people would have to pay more money in taxes than they're paying directly to the doctor, because they would also have to support the government apparatus that would handle this thing. And then instead of being the free owners of their money and choosing how to spend it and where to use choose the services, they would have to wait for the government bureaucrats' approval with an outstretched hand, like a beggar expecting alms from the government official. So that changes the relationship between the citizen and the government. Instead of being free people and owners of their country and their government, they become subjects to the state. And
do you think you convinced her?
No.
What was her reaction?
She was appalled. She said, "Well, the children did it out of the goodness of their hearts, and you are unfortunately, you do not share that goodness." And I said, "Children couldn't have written that." I was like a 12-year-old once, and I remember that the things that were in my mind were not free education or housing or right to work. So, you know, don't tell me that the children did it themselves. The teachers put those ideas in their heads. After that, my kid was getting even more in trouble than ever. I think they took it out on my son.
Oh, that's terrible.
That was very hard.
Oh, that's hard. Well, you know, just today we heard about this school principal in Massachusetts who said that the honor students, they usually have an event, a ceremony, where they honor the honor students. They recognize them. They're not going to do that now because there are some kids that, you know, they came so close to getting honors, but they didn't. And they don't want those kids to feel bad. So they're not going to do an honors night.
Yeah. Well, all kids must be equal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? At that point, at the time, I thought that that was just that particular school in Brooklyn and that particular principal. But then, as I began to learn more about what's going on politically in this country, I realized that that was a system, that same thing was going in every single school, public school, and that the goal of public education was not to teach children, but to indoctrinate them to the socialist ideas. And then I learned about Delayers and his contribution to all this and his role in teaching the teachers to indoctrinate children. This former terrorist was blowing up America from the inside now more effectively through education than he could ever do with his homemade bombs.
Oh, yes, indeed. Free as
speaking
bird.
Of which... Speaking of which, here is another achievement that I I still haven't posted on my website yet. Do you know there was a book by an FBI informant named Larry Grathwall, who infiltrated the Weather Underground in the late 60s and lived with them, with Delayers and Bernadine Dorn and all the others. And he saw up close all the going-ons there. And then later he wrote a book about it after he did all the...
I think that book just was re-released like last week or this week, I think. But anyway,
it was,
continue.
Yes, wait. It was re-released with my cover because I was the one who did the new cover for that book. So when you you get the book, you will see my work.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to you for that. Yeah, because I had read that it was coming out, and I went to Amazon to see if it was ready yet. And what they were showing was the old book. He had written it before. I guess he's updated it, but and it was kind of pedestrian looking, quite frankly. So I thought, oh well, the new book hasn't come out yet because the publication date was, you know, I think it was like 19. I don't know what it was on that.
76.
Book.
It was 76.
What was it again?
In 1976, it came out. And, you know, to be fair, though, those people didn't have Photoshop then. So, yeah, that's why the color, my color is better, because I have all the tools.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's great. Congratulations. So you broke the story here. We get the exclusive, the scoop. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Maggie Thatcher poster. So what are they doing? Tell us about what happened. They contacted you? How did this all unfold?
Yeah, they sent me an email asking for a license, and they are a nonprofit foundation trying to raise funds for that statue in her hometown. And apparently, although she is popular among some people, Margaret Thatcher is, there are still a lot of people who hate her. And that organization started a website called MargaretStatue.org and also a Facebook page, Margaret Statue Project, I think it's called. And the comments are they already have some negative comments, like boo or, that was, I think, the comment under their video that they made in support of the project. And actually, that video also has my logo featured throughout. It's in a museum. The local museum has her exhibit, and so they want to expand that exhibit and also build a statue, because that town already has a statue of Sir Isaac Newton, who was the local son. But it's only fair that the town also has a statue of its native daughter. Because her contribution to politics might be as important as Newton's contributions to physics.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, it was world-changing between her and President Reagan. I mean, they really brought down the Soviet Union. Or they chipped away at it enough so that it did fall.
Yep, they expedited it. They were visionaries because nobody believed that would happen. I didn't believe it on the inside. And even when it got disbanded, it was a big surprise for me. Even though, well, it wasn't a shock because the talk of independence was already in the air. But it was a pleasant surprise. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I still haven't regretted it, although some people do.
No. Oleg, we're talking with Oleg Atbashian from the People's Cube, otherwise known as Red Square, over there. Do you do graphic illustration, graphic art commercially as well as what you do here at the People's Cube?
Yes, well, when I have customers who order me commercial art, I do. Book covers, posters, I did exhibition designs. I build websites, I design websites.
Okay, that's good to know.
Some of the listeners need a website, and they can pay. Let them shoot me an email.
That's right. Capitalist society, free enterprise. Absolutely. And they can reach you through the People's Cube, right?
Yes, there is a contact button in the menu. Or it's my email is redsquare@thepeoplescube.com.
Okay, well, that's easy enough. All right, so they're going to raise money for this. Now, when they get the money and they put the when they actually fabricate the statue and have it there and they unveil it, do you anticipate that you'll be there to see this happen?
Will I be there? I don't think so. Well, England has been my dream since when I was growing up, learning English. I was thinking about England, but and actually, when I was in college, there was a they were sending one college, one student in our class to Oxford for 2 months of internship, and I was the best student in English, so I kind of expected that it would be me, but then the dean told me that I was politically unreliable because I was talking too much.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Right. I won't be there, but they need to raise 200,000 pounds for that project, and of course they will be selling merchandise with my design to raise that money. Of course, not.
Right.
I don't know how much they need to sell. They need to cover the walls with the merchandise to collect 200,000 pounds, but that will be part of it, at least.
Yeah.
Of course, there will be a lot of private donations, I'm sure. But they will be selling T-shirts, posters, mugs, and they promised to send me samples. I asked them for a certificate on the museum stationery so that I would have.
That would be great. That would be terrific. Well, so you'll keep us apprised of it. I'm sure you'll be updating on the People's Cube as to the progress that they're making as well.
Yes, of course. I also asked them for pictures of my products in their museum shop, so I'll be posting that on the website.
Good. All right, good. We'll be watching for them. All right, Oleg, we're going to let you go because, you're a trooper for coming on feeling as punky as you are, so we appreciate it very, very much. And congratulations.
But I feel much better after talking to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I feel much better after talking to you, too. Oleg, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot. And we'll keep in touch. All right. Here. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
You too. Bye. All right. Oleg Adbashian, thepeoplescube.com. What a talented guy. You know, Big Fur Hat has said that this is where he got his start, doing some graphic illustration for the People's Cube, and then kind of branched out on his own with I Own the World. And if you've been following my Facebook, at night sometimes I'll go over to I Own the World and I just snatch stuff from them and throw it up on my Facebook page. Of course, I always credit them and link it over to them, but they've got the funniest stuff. And last night was just hilarious. I sit here by myself and just laugh a lot.